This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us on The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Now, it is 7:36 in the morning, and in about half an hour, we're going to be having The Breakfast Grill, where Shariz Abdullah speaks with Paul Hutton, Southeast Asia Vice President of Operations at the Hilton. So a landmark in Petaling Jaya, Hilton Hotel was once the five-star hotel for travellers in Malaysia. Today, they have 11 hotels throughout Malaysia and 40 throughout the region. So in conjunction with the 100th year anniversary, we speak to Paul Hutton, Hilton's Southeast Asia Vice President for Operations, to discuss its plans for the region and sentiments of the hotel industry. Now, the latest news out of the UK recently has been a lot of speculation over what is going to happen with the EU, with Europe and Brexit, now that Theresa May has announced that she's going to be stepping down. So for more insight into what happens, we are going to be speaking to Professor Simon Tomey, and to ask him whether or not, I guess now that Theresa May is out, who is likely to take over?
Yeah, that's right. Of course, the Brexit issue has defeated two British prime ministers. The other one, of course, is David Cameron, also from the Conservatives. So this Brexit issue will be fodder for the other party, Labour, because it has defeated these two other prime ministers, right? But the question is whether Labour themselves could come up with a leader who could solve the Brexit issue.
Well, they say there's two camps, right, that basically going to be the future prime minister. There is Boris Johnson and everyone else who isn't Boris Johnson.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, when Theresa May, I mean, she's on her way out. And if you ask me, the political turmoil is just about to get more intense. Now, what kind of divorce the UK really wants isn't clear. And that will be defined very much by the next prime minister, who could be anyone else. And the risk of a messy no-deal split remains real, while companies continue to spend millions preparing for the worst.
Now, with Theresa May's latest announcement, Brexit has now defeated two British prime ministers. So we're just going to have to wait and see what the next one has in store for us. But for more insight into the Brexit issue, we have Professor Simon Tomey, Professor of Politics at the University of Sydney, on the line. Thank you for joining us, Professor. So could Boris Johnson make a good prime minister, since he seems to be the favourite in the running to take over from Theresa May?
Well, much depends on whatever we mean by good. He's certainly a very charismatic figure. There's a large percentage of the British voting public that like Boris Johnson. They like that kind of theatrical, old Etonian. And, you know, during his period as London mayor, he didn't lose support of citizens in the capital. He is what we would call gaffe-prone, so he will kind of just shoot from the hip with observations about anything that comes into his head. So there are risks with Boris Johnson as well. He can alienate people. In Australia, we would call him a kind of Vegemite candidate, Vegemite being a very peculiar thing that we spread on toast at breakfast, love all you hate. And Boris Johnson's a bit like that. People who like him really like him, and people who don't like him really don't like him. So he's a polarizing figure.
Yeah, in Malaysia we have Marmite, and that's much loved over here.
That's, I guess, very similar to Vegemite.
That's right. I guess this relates to what's good for the UK, who the next leader is going to be, and that relates to how they can solve the very thorny Brexit issue. What is the correct policy here, Simon, whether it's remain or leave? And Theresa May was for a soft Brexit, and now she's on the way out.
That's right. I mean, we've got a very deeply divided country. So really, it's roughly half and half, Remain versus Leave. So what do we do with a situation which is really, really difficult to resolve? I would go back to the Northern Ireland issue, which was extremely well handled in the 1990s by the Labour Party, and basically set up a commission of inquiry into how to resolve the Northern Ireland peace process, brought a lot of people together, put it in neutral hands, worked with the two sides to try and come up with a compromise which both sides could live with. So what you do there is you depoliticize it. You make it a non-partisan issue. But, of course, UK politics is not ready for this approach yet. So Theresa May, quite strident, Brexit means Brexit. And, of course, we're going to ramp up the stakes even further if Boris Johnson becomes a leader of the Conservative Party. But it's just not going to work. There is no majority in the House of Commons, either in the current House of Commons or in any future iteration of the House of Commons, for a hard Brexit. So they can carry on banging their head against the wall, or they can say, do you know what? We've tried this now, and now we really need to come up with something which actually meets the needs of a kind of, you know, a compromise solution. But we're a long way from the rhetoric of compromise at the moment.
So what's the likelihood of seeing another Brexit referendum if there are no other options?
Oh, I think both a general election and another referendum are both kind of quite likely, but it's more a question of what order they come in. I suspect that we will have an election first at the end of this year, because Boris Johnson, who I suspect will become the leader, will try to get his hard Brexit through the House of Commons. That will be shot down. And I think he'll view the thing as a 100% uptick for Conservative support for a hard Brexit out in the country. He'll try that, but he'll find that probably there's a hung parliament, or even the Conservatives don't actually win the election at all. So I think we get an election, and then possibly the idea of a referendum will become a little bit more, how should one say, a kind of a more welcome alternative. But I also just do think that, you know, it's the only way to really make any headway on this is to depoliticize it, put it in the hands of an independent commission, and really try to work hard with the European Union on a compromise solution. But I mean, you don't hear that very much in British politics at the moment.
Now, speaking of the European Union, Simon, European parliamentary elections have been underway over this weekend. Now, and obviously this was something that the UK initially wasn't expecting to be a part of, since they were aiming to be out of the EU by the end of March. So how does their participation in the EU, in the European parliamentary elections, affect the discourse over there in the UK now?
Well, it's simply all about Brexit. So there hasn't been any interest in kind of the broader European politics, climate change, environment, economic growth, or anything like that. The whole election, as far as Britain's involvement in the European election, is about Brexit. So if we're following, as I am, the BBC coverage, it's all the Brexit Party is doing, and really a Conservative and Labour collapse in terms of their own votes. All the Remain votes have been taken away from the Labour Party, put in the Liberal Democrats and in the Green camp. Polarized electorate. So, and you know, the pattern across Europe is people that do tend to sort of reflect the national politics, even though they're voting at a European level. So in France, for example, we'll have, you know, Marine Le Pen's party, Rassemblement National, doing extremely well. Why is it a European party? It's not, nothing to do with Europe. It's all about immigration in France and the collapse of support for Emmanuel Macron. So same thing in Greece, Germany, and so on.
And thank you so much. That was Simon Tormey, Professor of Politics at the University of Sydney. And exit polls are starting to come out of the European parliamentary elections as well, so be sure to keep an eye out for that. Now, we'll be back with more, a look at the April inflation numbers after this, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.